I have great pleasure in introducing Sejal Shah. And she's a wonderful, lovely, very interesting person. I'm going to listen really intently to this, as we all are going to, because she's going to help us with our businesses. Since 2008, Sejal has pioneered ways of delivering business EFT courses to large companies at home and abroad, and she loves coaching other practitioners to do this as well. I mean, let's face it, that's where the money is. Sejal is the co-founder of Business Energetics, a spiritual tool for business growth that combines EFT and family constellations work. Wow. She's talking today about the mindset behind taking EFT into the corporate market. Please welcome her.
So I'm just going to check on sound. Does that sound all right? Yeah? You want me to speak a bit louder? Okay, I'll put the volume up. So I'm going to make this an interactive presentation. We are going to tap as a group, so hopefully that will suit you and you'll enjoy that. Some of the tapping we're going to do is going to be on general themes that I'm going to introduce and bring up. Like with true authentic EFT, the heart of EFT is really in being specific, in finding your key issues, the memories. So if you find that those come to mind, please do have pen and paper to hand so that you can just make a note of them to tap on later. I'm really happy for you to ask questions as we go along, so feel free to raise your hand and let me know. Okay, first question to you. How many of you run an EFT business? Okay, great. So that's a good proportion of you, two-thirds of you. How many of you would like to learn how to take EFT into companies? Okay, good. That's a good showing of hands as well. So the reason I chose the topic of mindset, as opposed to saying this is the practical stuff of how you go and do it, mindset is far more important than action, in my opinion. Because when you have a mindset that is focused to listen to your audience, to communicate with them effectively and be where they are, you are then in a place of dynamic power, and you can really achieve a lot more than just by empty action. And so that was my reason for choosing mindset. If I was to put mindset in a different way, a word that we've talked about in EFT for a good while is a word called congruence. You might have heard Carol Luck use that. And what congruence is for me is when you are just about ready to meet your client where they are, and then it's effortless for them to want to work with you. They find you quite naturally, quite easily. So whilst this presentation is focused on how to work with companies, some of the themes might actually help those of you who just are very happy doing one-on-one therapy work, because there are some similar issues in my experience. So what made me go into companies? I thought it might help you if I told you a little bit about my story, and also it might answer the question, why should we go into companies? Before I became an EFT practitioner 5 years ago, I was a corporate lawyer. I worked in London, I worked abroad, and I had a very good career. I enjoyed myself, but naturally my stress levels were incredibly high. And like many of you, I came to EFT to help myself, and I was adamant I was going to be selfish and just help myself, and I didn't care what else might happen because I was committed to being a lawyer. However, as I fell in love with EFT, and lawyers and wordplay go together so well, as I fell in love, I realized that many of my colleagues were not in a place to even go there with EFT. They needed a safe bridge to go in. And I could see the ways to do that. I could see the ways to find the language to do that. And I had fallen in love with EFT, and I knew I wanted to approach that audience. There is benefit in us as EFTers going in. The majority of training courses that are run for companies can have a tendency just to touch the surface. And as skillful practitioners as you are, you have an ability to go sensitively and in an appropriate way into the depth of actually providing an improvement in performance. When I was in my previous career, one colleague described some of the training they'd had for management and leadership in the following way. He said it's a bit like having a seagull come in. That trainer squawks and flaps a lot. That leaves a nasty little pile, a little deposit of what they think is appropriate, and then they swan off, they fly away, and you're left not putting into practice what you've learnt. So as you can see, with EFT, you have the ability to provide relief in the moment. And that's the most important thing, that you're actually able to make progress there and then. And that's why, one of the reasons, in my opinion, EFT has such an important place. Not all companies and not all industries are a place to take EFT into. I think it's important to choose your industry. So recently I was talking with a networking colleague who's a raving fan of mine, and her client base is mainly car salesmen, large dealerships. And we both agreed that isn't an audience that I can go to, because they're very cynical. And finding a bridge to them is just too much hard work. So it's actually better to find an audience that's willing to listen, especially in these early days, because EFT is still so unknown to this audience. When I have gone into companies, very often they will say, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have even heard of this. So that's the kind of cutting-edge nature of this work. So I would always suggest, be skillful about which audience you approach. And this is where niching comes in. So whether you're approaching companies or you're just an individual therapist working one-on-one, niche is your key to finding your ideal clients, those who really want to hear you. So a niche I can tell you about that is very interested in this type of work is the high-tech industry, so IT companies. A couple of years ago, a number of Silicon Valley-based companies, Google, Facebook, eBay, and plenty of others, they all gathered for what has continued. It was the first conference. It was called Wisdom 2.0. And the situation was that these high-tech companies are very much aware of how much information overload there is amongst their employees. And when you get too much information coming in, you tend to switch off. So what they have done is try to find ways to balance that so that they can filter through the relevant information. So they have had at the last two conferences yoga practitioners, spiritual teachers, those teaching meditation. EFT, I think, is likely to be there in the next couple of years. So that is an audience that is very, very advanced, very innovative, has the money to spend as well on training, is committed to training its staff. I want to give you a brief insight into Google and why what we do, why it actually really matters to them. And they've made a business case for it. And this is something that I come to again and again in my talking, my work with businesses. Before they'll even hire me, I need to make a business case for it. So this is what the head of Google said at the head of personal growth at Google said a couple of years ago at that Wisdom 2.0 conference. And his name is Meng Tang. And on his business cards, he actually has a job title called Jolly Good Fellow. In his 20% of time at Google, where he could do whatever he wanted, he kept exploring spirituality and business. And what he discovered and made a business case for Google, which has been adopted, is the following. Google now believes, based on scientific research, that success and stellar performance are twice as influenced by emotional competency as intellectual competency. So you may have heard how many PhDs Google hires. But if you've got a high IQ and a low emotional intelligence. That means you can't relate to your colleagues, you can't communicate effectively, you cause lots of problems in the workplace because you're a stroppy person. All those things that mean that projects get delayed. Now, you and I know how we can ease that so naturally with EFT. So the bottom line here is, what you and I are doing, we're dealing with something called emotional intelligence. And that's business language for finding relief. If we can bring that language in to what we're talking about, we're going to find doors opening more and more to EFT. And the bottom line is, Google only does something if there is more money to be made. So you are very able to start connecting with people and talking about how you can save them money. And that's where they will start to listen. Another thing that the head of personal growth mentioned was something from the Harvard Business Review that was in circulation around that time, a few years ago. And basically it was research that concluded that if you're happy today, you're more creative tomorrow and the next day. So it comes back to performance, where you're focused on your well-being, on your emotional intelligence, you're going to perform better. So really the key here, in my opinion and experience, is if you focus on the bottom line for the business, but also talk about performance, you're starting to get to where they really will want to hear more from you. So, as I've talked about that, some of the thoughts that occur to me where we can get caught up in our own fears and worries is, do they really want me? Does that resonate with anyone as a question? Okay. Good, thank you. So here's where I really would like to do some tapping. So please join me. And if you see me tap on a point like the liver point that you don't use, just go to points that you use, whatever is comfortable for you. Even though I'm aware of this opportunity. It sounds massive. And I love how people are opening up to this. But on the other hand, there's a part of me that feels a bit overwhelmed. This feels very big. Maybe too big for me. And last time I checked, I don't have Hercules muscles. So I can't do this by myself. I soothe and comfort myself. Even though this has brought up some concerns. Maybe some fears. Who am I to raise my hand to these big giants and tell them that I can help them? And that's just bringing up some old stuff. And I know that I can deal with this. I've done it before. And I found relief. And that's the most important thing right here, right now. I soothe and comfort myself. Even though this is making me think about myself and how I can handle myself, how I can carry myself with this possibility. And maybe I can just take the next easy step. Because I don't get to the end of my long journey just in one short step. So I'm going to be kind to myself and gentle with myself that I'm just exploring this because I soothe and comfort myself. All this overwhelm, this feeling that I'm not sure I belong, this sense that I might not be able to do this effectively, this awareness that there's a gap there, And I'm minding that gap. And I'm just aware of what's happening inside. And I'm going to deal with it in my own way. Give myself the space to do what I need to. Because I know that my success, it starts from within me. And this is just bringing up insights. It's the white letters on the white wall that I might not have seen before. But I'm getting some healthy contrast. And I'm just getting some relief in knowing that this is possible. And that's okay. Take a deep breath. So when we first start talking about approaching a company or even approaching a one-on-one client, one of the things that I see come up time and again, which is a big turn-off for me, is desperation. If there's only one thing you take from what I share, I hope it's this, that you can let go of any desperation you might feel to convert that prospect into a client. I want you to think about when you might have received a cold call from a utility company, or you've had someone knocking on your door trying to sell you something, maybe someone jumping you on the street to ask you to fill in a survey. Have you ever come across that desperation from that other person? It's so off-putting, isn't it? When I first came to EFT, I was as evangelical as anyone. I wanted everyone to know how amazing this was. But the thing was that my desperation for them to get it was putting them off. It was causing such a disconnect that they really didn't want to know. The shutters came up. So one of the best things you can do, in my opinion, it's a suggestion, is to let go of that desperation. Because once you are at ease with knowing that people will ask you what they need, or it'll come up naturally in conversation, it starts happening more and more because you're focusing on how that can happen. Another way I can describe it is, you can have a bush that's laden with berries and you want to go fruit picking. Now, some of the berries are green, some are part way there, and others are fully ripe. Would you ever pick the green berries? No, because they wouldn't taste good. They'd be bitter, hard. And the same is true of your prospects, be they an individual or a company. It's really about building relationships, and desperation is a big killer of any relationship. So I want you to think about how that feels for you. Is that something that feels that you feel at ease, or that we'd benefit from tapping on? If you'd like to tap on it, just raise your hand. Okay, good, thank you. So I want you to focus on where that desperation might be in your body. And just focus in on it before we start with the wording. Even though I know I can make such a difference. And I want to make that difference. I feel it in my body. That gnawing away. I really want to make things change. Because I can bring so much relief. I accept myself just as I am. Even though I have this feeling of desperation. And it's not wrong to feel that way. Every EFTer before me has felt that, probably. It's just a natural feeling. And I'm working at helping myself just to come to ease with that part of me. Because I love and accept myself. Even though there's this feeling in me that if I don't tell them all of what they're going to get, they're not going to understand me. It's going to be a missed opportunity. And I don't like to see them suffer. I don't want to suffer. I soothe and comfort myself. There's a part of me that thought it had to be me that told them, or that they're not going to get it unless I really tell them. And I really want them to get it. It matters to me so much, because I can tell the relief they will get. And I want to see a better community to live in. I really want to ease their pain. And it wouldn't hurt me to make some money in my business, because that would make life easier for me. But maybe it's a series of messages they'll get. Maybe I'm one of the sharers of that information. And maybe there are others along the way that will just share what they need to know. And maybe I share just by the way I carry myself, because I've changed so much with all the tapping I've done. And that shows in the way I carry myself. I'm such a different person. I don't have to even tell people how much better I feel, because it shines in my face. It's easier in my whole being. And that is how I share EFT. And I don't have to get the megaphone. I don't have to make sure everyone reads the papers with EFT in it. It just happens. Okay, take a deep breath. The next thing I come across is EFT is too weird to share. How many people feel that? Yeah, it's a big thing, isn't it? Because we do this odd tapping thing. I'll tell you where I've got to with this. A few months before Gary Craig retired, he was doing a few audio interviews and putting them on his newsletter. I was one of the fortunate ones to be included in that, and he was specifically interviewing me and my colleague about how we took EFT into companies. And he asked a question which just floored me at the time, and it was, don't they in companies think it's too weird? And I thought, but this is Gary Craig, and he invented it, and he thinks it's possibly weird. And the reason I was kind of floored was I've really gotten over it. I don't care what anyone thinks of me when it comes to tapping. And the benefit of that is it's actually taken me off the hook of having to prove myself to someone else where tapping is concerned. I don't force it on anyone. I don't ask that they listen and hear me talk about EFT. But because I'm at ease with it, it's so present in my body language, in the way I talk about it, in the way I approach the subject, even when I'm giving a workshop in a company. Initially, I will always diffuse the whole weirdness thing with my audience, with my group, by making lots of jokes about this weird thing and hope my colleagues don't see me whilst I'm tapping. What I want to suggest is that if you can model that and say, it is weird for some people, but not for me. It's no more weird than injecting a foreign substance into a vein because it has a health-giving benefit for certain illnesses. So if you're diabetic, you might be using insulin. For some people, perhaps even a few hundred years ago, that would have been weird. but we take it as commonplace. So if you can be the standard bearers of that and go, might be weird to some people, but you know what? I feel the benefits so much. I feel the relief so much, and that's all that matters to me. And that's what someone who needs life-giving injections might say as well about it. It looks a bit weird, but you know, it's keeping me going. It's keeping me healthy. So I want to tap on that, and let's see if we can help you progress with it. Even though I've heard it time and again, it's weird, because not many people do it. I don't see people walking the streets, tapping away, and I sometimes feel like I might be standing out, like a sore thumb. And I don't want to do that. I kind of want to be private and just keep things to myself. And that's okay. I soothe and comfort myself. Even though I don't like to stand out too much, for whatever reason, I really just want to keep to myself and make sure that others accept me. And they might not accept me if this feels too weird. But when did someone else's opinion have to govern everything in my life? And that's okay. I soothe and comfort myself. Even though I'm not sure they know tapping, and they might think me weird. But what if they're doing imaginary tapping? And I don't know. What if they're quietly tapping away in their bedroom, not wanting anyone else to know, just like me? And there we are, two people tapping away and not wanting anyone else to know. And that's okay, because I accept myself just where I am. All this feeling about how it's okay to tap. All this feeling that they might not accept me for whatever reason, because this is so weird. And doing it in a very public way might not be good for me. People might think I'm weird, a bit odd, and they might not get it. But then I ask myself, why do I do EFT? Surely I do it for my benefit. Surely I do it to make myself feel better. And that's all that matters, really. If other people don't quite take to it, then maybe that's their concern. I don't have to do it on the street with them, because I'm at ease in myself that they're going to get to it whenever they're ready, just like I got to it when I was ready. And so I'm just going to take care of myself and know that this little bit of weirdness is bringing a ton of relief. Okay. Take a deep breath. I just want to ground that knowledge about congruence and accepting yourself in a bit of factual knowledge. You've heard a number of people speak today, and you will have taken in different things. We're all very different. We all have different interests. Based on what you've heard over the day, what percentage of the words that you have heard do you think you have taken in? Shout out some numbers. 2%? Any other numbers? Any other takers? 30? I heard 10 somewhere. So you're actually in the right ballpark area. a UCLA professor from the 1970s, Professor Mehrabian. He's done a lot of work on the psychology of communication and what really works, what's effective. And from his research, he actually found that in terms of words, it's 7%
of our trust is placed in the words that a presenter uses. A higher figure of what we put trust in is to do with tone of voice. So this is cadence, rhythm, accent, how the person sounds as trustworthy to us. And that figure is...
It's 38%. So without even focusing on the cognitive words that are used, you are absorbing things from every speaker today. And that is part of that understanding that you draw. The biggest figure, so if you can do your maths, you'll have got this already, is 55. That 55% is all about body language. So coming back to how you present EFT, whether it's weird. So if we think, or if we're feeling in ourselves that EFT is a bit weird, can you imagine what that's doing to our body language? We kind of get a bit defensive and a bit uncertain. Whereas if you're relaxed and you go, they might accept it, they might not, it's not my responsibility to get them to do that. Can you hear the relaxedness in that? And that's what you're selling. Because people buy based on the kind of communication you share. That 55% of body language is how people relate to you. And as a simple answer to the question of how do I get into companies, the practical answer, in my opinion, is you build relationships, be that through networking, through using social media such as LinkedIn or Twitter. There are various ways to connect with companies and people in places of ability to hire you as someone to work with them. So, just aware of time, the last topic I want to cover, and there's a lot more I could say about this, the last topic I want to cover is language. And throughout this presentation, I've tried to give you tidbits of language. Because my whole approach to EFT in companies is really emphasizing language. And I said at the beginning, lawyers love wordplay. This is kind of my passion. I love finding ways to share things that I'm passionate about in a way that I think my audience would be receptive to. And it's always about boundaries, being respectful, not wanting to overreach and push something on someone. That's your emotional sensitivity. That's where your rapport skills as a practitioner and as just a communicator come in. But language. So, one of the first things I do not do when I go to work with companies, I do not use the following words. I don't use energy. Energy psychology. Meridians. Vibrational medicine, and there are probably plenty of others I could think of. The reason I don't use those is that audience has typically little receptivity to that kind of language. We need to be able to speak in a way that our audience can hear us. So I've told you what I don't do. Now let me tell you what I do. I talk about things that matter to them. So the first thing is I talk about stress and the cost to their workforce. The problem with stress is stress management has been around for a couple of decades at least, if not longer, and it's so feeble, it's so ineffectual in practice over a short term that it's quite a boring thing. It doesn't have the motivation to get people to take action. So instead, I talk about areas that matter to them. I talk about performance. I talk about cost benefit of having staff return to work instead of being staying off sick. I talk about all the things that they're going to get from incorporating EFT. And these are all the benefits that you know so well. So you can talk about clarity, focus. Those are pretty important in desk jobs, and even if you're operating machinery. You can talk about teams working together. As a lawyer, I saw so many dysfunctional teams, and I was in part of them at times, and there were times when I just wanted to shake someone because they really weren't listening. Whereas if I'd known tapping at that point, I would have tapped for myself and come to a place where perhaps I could have surrogately tapped for them. So that's the language of how to sell it, and there is a lot more I could say on that, but basically, in summary, you want to emphasize the benefits. But then when you get in front of your audience, if you don't talk about meridians or energy, how do you approach it? I talk about things being grounded in the body. One of the very first corporate gigs I did, I had a biology professor in the audience, and at the end he came up to me and said, "It's amazing, all the points you showed us to tap on, each of those has a mass of nerve endings close to the surface." And so what we're doing, he said, was, "I think we're stimulating the body's nervous system." And I thanked him so much because he'd given me that bridge of how to share what EFT does. People understand the nervous system. They feel the benefit of your tapping with them. And if you can make that connection, they will join the rest of the dots for themselves and say, "Oh, this is what's happening." And it's always more powerful to let your audience find an answer to what is happening, create a solution. So tomorrow there's going to be a presentation on the science behind EFT, and I really would encourage you to listen to that or explore some of the stuff that Dawson Church is doing, because you need that language. I actually have a whole raft of physiological explanations about what's happening based on the hormonal system, the endocrine system, the adrenaline response. You need that knowledge if you're going to convince your audience that there is some reason to what you're doing. So that's a little bit about language. The final thing I want to touch on is, how do you progress from here? I've given you a snapshot of the mindset. In essence, what you want to be doing is developing yourself. I purposely framed the very first tapping we did as one step. If you try and take a big leap, typically it's going to be painful, and you can end up landing flat on your face. I would always suggest steady incremental steps, because that's going to get you to your goal easily. There are two ways I can suggest that you do that. One is to look around this room or think through your EFT friends and find something called a mastermind buddy or a tapping buddy. And you want to make it a focus that you tap together regularly, preferably weekly. I've been doing that for myself for the last 2 years, and that's aided my business growth. Alternatively, you can find a coaching group. A few of the people who've presented today, myself included, we offer that. So that's something to explore if that's something that really motivates you to progress. But there are many solutions there to helping yourself. I hope that's been of help to you.